Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I'm your host, Perseus Poku. We are so thankful that you have joined us for this episode. This is the third installment on the topic dealing with syncretism. And we spell syncretism as S-Y-N-C-R-E-T-I-S-M, syncretism. And syncretism, again, is the desire or attitude and a theological pursuit to blend what is righteous with the unrighteous, or the perception that it's okay to bring into your Christian walk things that God has already denounced. It could be philosophy. It could be your theological worldview. It could be a custom that you learned from your environment. It could be your perceptions built around how you were reared or past relationships, things that you've adopted into your life that you thought was acceptable at one time in your life, but God has denounced from a biblical worldview. So syncretic behavior can be found globally, but I'm hoping that you look in the mirror, and as you read God's word, which in essence is a mirror, because God's word illuminates who we really are, not based on the makeup that we're using, nor the face that we put on before we go to church. God's word deals with us intimately. God is not trying to pacify us. He's not trying to soothe us or present to us somebody that we're not. And that's what I love about Jesus. He tells us about ourselves. He reveals who we really are to ourselves until we get to the point where we can say, woe is me, I am a wretch undone. So if you want somebody that can tell you the truth, learn to talk to God, learn to follow the lead of Christ, and he will reveal your true selves to you. And the great thing about Jesus is he just doesn't leave us right where we are. Jesus can clean us up and bring us back out looking better than we were before. He doesn't want us to continue to practice those things that are not in alignment with what he wants for us. I liken it to your doctor. For a good doctor wouldn't want you to keep doing things that is unhealthy. A good doctor would tell you the truth. A good doctor would analyze the situation and present to you your options. And it's up to you. If you want to be healthy, to follow those options. And if you continue to eat the wrong way, you continue to not exercise, you continue to keep smoking when you have emphysema, then that's not a good decision. Right? So Jesus is the chief physician. And he tells us what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And him as the word, him as the Alpha and Omega, God knows us inside and out. So when God tells us something, it's not purely punitive. God loves us. And that's why Paul can remind his followers, his being Jesus, Jesus followers, that God loves us so much that he chastises us. And what father would not chastise his or her son or daughter? And that's what Paul was trying to convey. God is a good father, and he loves us in a way that most people can't love us. And God's love is even more pronounced than the love we have for ourselves. God's love is way deeper, and it's more impactful. So syncretic behavior is not a good thing. Is bringing in the unholy and trying to justify it. It's bringing in the condemned and trying to make it acceptable. God has already condemned certain actions. God has already condemned a certain behavior, and he wants us to follow the alternative. You know, God never takes away something without putting something else in its place. Many of you that are listening today can testify to your own stories about how God delivered you from certain behavior, and he replaced it with love. He replaced it with joy. He replaced it with discipline. He replaced it with unity. He replaced it with something that's righteous. I know oftentimes we often feel as though when we're giving something up for Christ, we feel as though I'm giving this up. What am I going to do? You're trying to figure it out on your own, but I want to encourage you to step out on faith. If you're listening to me right now, step out on faith. And I promise you, God will meet you on the other side if you step out on faith. So in our last episode, we brought up syncretic behavior in ancient Israel. And as we look at the Old Testament, we see several places where Israel would turn away from God. They would play the harlot, as we find in Hosea, and God would bring them back. God would love on them, and God would perform a miracle. And when we look at the Old Testament, we find numerous occasions where ancient Israel would be on the mountaintop. I mean that figuratively, where God would have done something and they would all be in awe and they were all ready to worship and follow him. And then a few days later, they would be back to wanting to do things their own way. And so in the book of the Judges, we all know about Samson and his unique position in God's narrative and God's function for him. Samson, from the story that we're told, was a judge, and God wanted to use him for righteous purposes. But Samson had issues with the opposite sex, and he wouldn't follow the prescription that God had given him to stick with a certain type of woman. He wanted to always survey the land and choose other women that were not in alignment with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So as a result, he ran into Delilah, and Delilah called Samson to yield his secret, and Samson was essentially or consequentially arrested by the Philistines. And when he came unto himself and realized what he had done, he asked God for one more triumph. And in this narrative of Samson, when they took out his eyes and allowed him to put his hands on the pillars, he was able to perform one great miracle to tear down the temple and destroy his enemies one last time. So I'm summarizing, but I encourage you to read the story of Samson. But there's a narrative in there in Judges 16 and 23 that I wanted to bring a highlight to. It says in verse 23, chapter 16 of Judges, "Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." And that's Judges 16:23. And this is before the temple sequence that I just alluded to, when they see Samson after he had divulged his secret. This is what they were saying to themselves, the rulers of the Philistines. They were basically gloating over the fact that they had captured Samson. And in essence, it was a sacrifice to their god, Dagon. And for our purposes, I just wanted to highlight that this environment of this idol worship in the culture of the Philistine society or Philistine civilization. And in the same way, it's not just the Philistines that have created a god made with hands. It's all over. And since the beginning of time, since the fall of man, once sin came into our gene pool, we always had this tendency to worship other things beside God. And the sadness is we're taking what belongs to God and we're repurposing it to other things that can't help us. Anything outside of the Creator is a false idol. Anyone that's venerated outside of the authentic God is a false idol. And for our purposes, for a Christian to continue to bring in customs that have been condemned by God is a syncretic act. Okay, so we want to avoid syncretism. So watch yourselves carefully. Since you did not see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb from the midst of the fire, so that you do not act corruptly and make a graven image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of the male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the sky. Deuteronomy 4:15 through 20. So this is God's charge to ancient Israel again. Do not perform acts to anything outside of God. Do not perform practices that have been already condemned by God. So, for example, many people engage in occultic practices. And they may not even know that it's occultic. And it's even sadder if this individual professed to be a Christian, but yet still practicing or engaging in conduct or behavior that is inconsistent with Scripture. When I say inconsistent with Scripture, I'm repeating myself because I want us to get this. There are certain acts that God have already condemned. We don't need to ask anyone if it's okay. We don't need to go look on the computer to see if it's okay. We don't even need to ask a fellow church member. There's something God has already stated in the Scriptures. And if we want to know what God is saying, read the Word for yourself. Then if you have questions, you talk to somebody that's wise in the Lord and someone that you trust, somebody that's been walking with the Lord and can kind of give you a perspective on what that text is saying. But avoid occultic practices. And when I say occultic practices, it comes from that Latin word occultus, and it means hidden, things that are beneath. Things that are concealed. And it's interesting that a lot of cultic groups categorize certain things that they do, and they want you to keep it secretive. And that's what the devil does. The devil knows that there are some things that you're struggling with, but he wants you to keep it a secret so you can't get the help that you need. So if you're listening to me, if there's things that you're struggling with, And you know that it's impairing your relationship with Christ, that it is impairing your ministry. You need to talk to someone that you can trust, someone in the Lord that can point you in the right direction to get you the help that you need. But don't struggle with it alone. So things such as seances, right? The gathering, and trying to talk to those that have passed on, those in the afterlife God has already condemned. Things as using their Ouija board moving it around and trying to get certain mediums to talk to you and to consort with you. God has already condemned these type of acts. Things dealing with necromancy, God has condemned. Things such as channeling, God has condemned. Things such as fortune telling, even in my neighborhood, you find palm readers, and they're advertising and they're bold now. Even on television, there is commercials for psychic reading, and they're trying to make it mainstream, and they're trying to get people to think it's okay. And it's not okay. God has already told us to not deal with these type of people. Do not even allow yourself to be caught up in these type of practices, because you will become infected. And I'm not saying that as a Christian you can be demon-possessed, but you can't be demonically influenced. You can't be demon-possessed, but you can be demonically influenced. And we don't need to bring in any more issues into our lives as it is. So God is trying to keep you away from things that can harm you, things that can distract you, things that can burden you. He wants you to be free. God has already condemned incantations, things dealing with spells and people coming up with spells, or even in the South, there are people that are engaged in voodoo, and God has already condemned those type of practices. And as a Christian, let's say you grew up in the South like I did, it would be easy for me to say I believe in voodoo practices. And now that I'm a Christian, it will be easy for me to think it's okay for me to continue practicing voodoo. And it's not okay. God has already condemned it. Witchcraft, God has already condemned. Black magic, God has already condemned. So I want to talk about liberation. For the last two shows, we've been talking about syncretic behavior. We've been talking about what God wants from us versus what he doesn't want from us. And what he doesn't want from us is for us to carry over the things that he's already condemned. So when we look at the scriptures, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 4 through 6, it says, "So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live." 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. When you get a chance, please read that more thoroughly and read it in context. And so what Paul is trying to tell the Corinthian church is that I have to address this situation about food sacrificed to idols. We shouldn't be sacrificing or giving offerings to anyone or anything else outside of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a summation of that passage. There should be no offering given to anyone or anything outside of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Christ is not accepting just any type of offering. You can kill all the bullock you want and bring it to church on a Sunday morning. That's not going to satisfy God. in this modern day. What God wants is a sacrifice of yourself. You can be as circumcised as you want to be from your foreskin. But what God wants from you now is circumcision of the heart. You can shed all the blood of animals, oxen, that you want. But what God wants is for you to admit that you're a sinner. So that the shedding of his blood will lead to remission of your sin. So our directive is to not engage in any conduct or behavior that will cause us to stumble or cause us to lose perspective of the truth that God has given us. So if we want to be liberated, learn to not practice things that God has already condemned. Learn to offer or give your offering towards the authentic God instead of the false God. So some of these offerings are not just things from the Old Testament. Some things that we can offer God as an example. There are some music that needs to be let go. There are some things that you're listening to that you need not listen to anymore. There are some things that you're looking at that you shouldn't be looking at anymore. And these can cause syncretic behavior. If there's things that you know are unholy or unrighteous that you are listening to or looking at, it's not going to blend well with holiness. It's going to take you away from who God wants you to become. So you can't be holy, walk circumspect, but yet be practicing unholiness. That is a syncretic model, and we don't want to practice syncretism. It leads to us being further away from God than we ought to be. Then there's a passage in Acts chapter 19, verses 17 through 20. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. So these new converts of the early church, they had a right. They chose to not practice syncretism. The book that they had to practice sorcery meant a lot to them before Christ. But after Christ, they knew they had to give it up. And really, that's what liberation is all about. Christ came to liberate us from those, some of the things we thought were valuable, but in Christ, we realized that they were actually a stumbling block. So that's the doctrine of syncretism. We pray that you learned something from the past 2 to 3 episodes. This is the third one. If you missed the previous episode, go on our website, srministries.org, and you'll find it there. Now, we pray that you learned something to benefit you. Continue to do for the truth what others do for a lie. And please go on our website and become a financial sponsor. We need your help so we can continue training Christians and defending the faith. May God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies, and systematic theology. Join in on discussions on Facebook at Sound Reasoning Ministries. For more information about the ministry, to send an email, ask a question, or support the ministry, visit online at srministries.org. That's srministries.org. Listen again next week at this same time, and remember, Titus 1:9 says, "Hold firm to the trustworthy message as has been taught, so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." Sound Reasoning Ministries, srministries.org.
Hey, everybody. I'm Dale.
And I'm Tamara.
And we're hosts of the Kynos Project podcast,
where we help you tackle ancient Christian truths in everyday settings.
The word kynos means new, and that's exactly what we want to do on our podcast, bring something new from what is old in our faith.
And on this show, you might hear us explore topics like what the Bible has to say about student loan forgiveness, discuss how the Satanic Temple affects our view of religious liberty in America, or even question why is it that so many people are having rapture anxiety.
To learn more about the podcast, go to lifeaudio.com.